The psalm that is attached to our scripture readings is Psalm 105, that hymn that we just sang. We know the tune, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing," but those lyrics were from Psalm 105. That was the basis of it. And that's where I want to begin with our sermon here. The title of our sermon is Scouts Honor. And from Psalm 105, we have a summary of the history of Joseph. When he summoned a famine on the land and broke all supply of bread, he had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. Let's pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, we thank you for this psalm and for these readings. And we thank you, Lord, that your ways are higher than our ways. They're past our ability to find out. And yet we see these patterns where you work through people. And you sent Joseph out ahead of the whole tribe, even the whole nation, that they might be spared from the famine that you had decreed should cover the whole known world at that time. But you sent him ahead. But you sent him ahead, and he was sold into slavery. And the means by which he became this, not only scout, but then leader of all of Egypt, is a way that no man would choose for himself. So it is with us. And so we would ask that you would help us to consider the role that you have given to us in our time and in our life, in our nation, and for our families. And that whatever the path, we would be faithful to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever thought about Joseph as a scout? A scout sent out ahead? Perhaps when we think of scouts, we perhaps think of the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts. And for sure, there was a most honorable tradition and past with those organizations, for sure. Not that familiar with them myself, so I don't know whether that honor continues to this day. It doesn't seem like it from what I do know of them. Well, I'm not talking about Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts. The scout I'm referring to is anyone who is sent. Anyone who is sent out ahead. Sent out ahead for God and for God's purposes. That sounds a lot like you. And it sounds a lot like who I am to be. At least it ought to be who we are. And then there's honor. Think back for a moment about Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. Scouts honor, right? There were the pledges, among which was never tell a lie. There were the codes of conduct. There were the hand signals that all the scouts used to know. But the honor that I want to address here is not necessarily something that is received. When we think of honor, we think of, oh, somebody's honoring me. I'm receiving something. No, rather, the honor I'm speaking about is something that is bestowed upon us, given to us. And it is our honor to be chosen and to be sent out by God. It's our honor to be his scouts. Have you ever thought of Joseph as a scout? Sent out. wasn't a picnic for him, wasn't a weekend away and in the wilderness or the forest. My cousin was a scout. He was sent out ahead of a small patrol in Vietnam. He never came back. His body came back in a body bag, but he was a scout sent out ahead. Here we see Joseph sold into slavery. You could say, wait, Joseph, what is it? This isn't what I signed up for. Lord, from you I've received this dream of a different kind of honor where people would recognize my authority and I would lead and I would rule and in a mini sense be worshiped or at least respected, but sold into slavery? So he sold into slavery, and then later on he is jailed. You know the story of Joseph, I hope. He is jailed under the false accusations that he tried to go after and rape a member of the royal family. And he spends years in prison. And again, it's not like the kind of prisons that we have, where you watch TV and you get your college education, you get your law degree, and then you get out. He's in a prison. Let's fill out what the Bible says as a summary. Our opening verses from Psalm 105 were 16 and 17, but we'll go on and fill out a little bit more of it. When he, this was God, summoned a famine on the land, he broke all the supply of bread. He sent a man ahead of them. It was Joseph, who was sold into slavery. His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron. This isn't a collar of honor of any sort. Until what he said came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. And again, Joseph is years and years in that prison, falsely accused, in a foreign land. He was being tested. The king sent and then released him, and the ruler of the people set him free and made him lord of his house and the ruler over all his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach the elders wisdom. It's a great outcome there, but a not very pleasant path for Joseph. But it all began in verse 16. That God had determined, he had summoned a famine on the land. I want to stop there for a minute, because it makes you kind of wonder what God has in store for us and for our land. And if we are scouts, and we are, what that might mean for you and for me. God summoned a famine in the land, and Joseph goes and is sold into slavery and then into prison. And so if God has judgments that are coming our way in our land, and we are sent out ahead of this, what should we be expecting? If we are scouts, and we are, what might be in store for us? And I'll give you a hint. It might not immediately be your best life now. It wasn't for Joseph, who was a type of Christ. And if you remember the life of Jesus, he wasn't living his best life now, then. Man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. That's how the Bible describes him and his earthly ministry, his earthly humiliation. And we function as his body here and now. We are the body of Christ. We are the sent ones now. I could elaborate on what I believe is in store for our country. But we are scouts. And are we ready to be scouts? Could you endure what Joseph endured? Or what Job endured? Or what Isaiah endured? Isaiah being sawn in half. Imagine being put in the hollow of a log and sawn in half. Jeremiah thrown into a pit. The weeping prophet. The one who said, "Is it nothing to you, all of you who pass by?" As he saw the calamity taking place in the culture. Habakkuk said, "Lord, why do you show me? Why do you burden me with these things that I see, these injustices?" Could you endure what they endured? Joseph, Job, Isaiah, Jeremiah. How about John the Baptist? We learned about John the Baptist in Sunday school. John the Baptist ends up in prison. If anyone was a scout, the one going out before, preparing the way for what God was going to do with his people, it was John the Baptist. And he's in prison. And he never comes out. As he gets his head cut off. But sent out ahead of Jesus. I want you to turn over to 2 Timothy and verses 2 and 3 here. And I chose the King James translation of this. "You therefore," that's you guys, "endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And I guess I want to say this, that, there's a lot of hardness that you might associate with being a good soldier and being a good scout. And some of it would be, I got to stay up all night. I have to work long hours. I got to get up early. Maybe long hours. Maybe the idea that we got to miss a meal here or there. And not because we're dieting. But we got to miss a meal. Or maybe, we don't have the clothes that we want to be wearing. And they're very uncomfortable. And so think of a scout. Think of a military person on a patrol. And think of the various environments where they may have to go out scouting. Whether it's the jungle in Vietnam or whether it's a desert in Afghanistan. Endure hardship. But it's not just about those hardships of long hours and hard work and going without food and going without shelter and going without taking a shower or having proper clothing. Many times the hardest thing to do is to endure, to stay on mission, even when you don't know what your commanding officer has for you. You don't know the ultimate plan. It's above your pay grade. To endure when you don't know what he has. Not only in terms of the mission, but what it means for you in the mission. Are you someone like Joseph who's going to be able to come out of prison and have his dreams fulfilled in the sense that he's a ruler and he has a measure of honor? Or are you a John the Baptist who never comes out? But often the hardest thing to do is to endure because we don't know. It'd be easy to be a scout if, you were promised that, this mission that I'm sending you on here, you're going to be free of pain and hardship. You're going to be free of sorrow. You're going to be free of any kind of setback in your life. You're never going to have to take a path. You're never going to have to endure an outcome that you find disagreeable. Oftentimes, we think that, that's what God has for every one of his scouts. And if that's true, then God has to apologize to Joseph and to Job and to Isaiah and to Jeremiah and to John the Baptist. and to Jesus. But in spite of these hardships that we are called to endure, the cry of God's people is always the same. Isaiah 6 and 8. I heard a voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will be a scout? Who will go for us? Trinitarian language here. Then I said, here I am, send me. I'll be a scout. Remember, Isaiah is the guy who was sawn in half. They didn't like his preaching. How about the apostles? You guys know this here. Every one of them died a martyr's death. They were sent out. They all died a martyr's death, except for John, who lived out his life in exile. Taken away, stuck on an island. And did you know that the word apostle means sent? That's what it means. It means scout. It's the same idea. How about St. Paul? And some weeks ago, I shared this with you. St. Paul's ministry in Acts and 9 and 15 and 16. The Lord says to this guy who was caretaking for Paul, and immediately the guy had some reservation. And this is the guy who really wasn't, he was persecuting us, and it's not good for us to really be helping him. But God says, go and take care of him, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles. He's a scout. That's who Paul was. He's going to carry my name to the Gentiles and to the kings and to the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Getting some of the King James stuck in my head there. That's Paul's ministry as a scout. Tradition has it that he ends up in house arrest and later has his martyrdom as well. How about a different passage a little bit later on in Acts? This is the prophet Agabus, Acts 21. We were staying there many days, and this prophet comes in. His name was Agabus, and he came down from Judea, and coming unto us, he took Paul's belt, and he took his belt, and then he tied up his own hands and feet, and he said, thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hand of the Gentiles. So, if anybody comes up to you and pulls off your belt and ties your hands and your feet, you know, be ready. Be ready. That's what Paul had to deal with. A prophet comes up to him speaking by the Holy Spirit and says, this is what awaits you there. You're going to be sold into slavery. You're going to be turned over to the Gentiles. You're going to have your head taken from you. But Paul was ready. 10 through 12 or 12 through 14. When we heard this, we and the people urged him not to go up. All your friends were saying, no, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. But Paul answered, he says, what are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be in prison, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord. And since he would not be persuaded, we ceased and said, let the will of the Lord be done. Paul was ready. Walk the line, if I can use that phrase. Being sent, being scouts, is who and what we are. John 20, 21. Jesus says to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Sent out. You heard a little bit of this in the New Testament lesson in Romans, in chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. How will they call on him whom they have not heard, believed? And how will they believe in him who they have not heard? How are they to hear without someone preaching to them? And this isn't just someone who has the ministry of being a pastor. All of us. And how shall are they to preach unless they are sent? Remember, we're all sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Sent out. I mentioned the apostles, not just the prophets who were sent. The apostles were sent. I wonder if you remember our gospel lesson from Matthew in chapter 14 and verse 22, right at the very beginning here. Immediately he made the disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side. They were sent out. They were scouts. Now, of course, Jesus knew what he was going to do. You know, he's the king. But they're sent out ahead of him. And it wasn't the first time that they had a really frightful experience as they were sent out. Matthew 8. Remember, they had gone out before and had a frightening experience. Matthew 8, 23 through 27. This time he was with them. His disciples were there. And behold, there was a great storm in the sea. The boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep there. And they went and they woke him saying, Lord, we are perishing. Another translation says, don't you care? And he said to them, why are you afraid? O you of little faith. And then he arose and he rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what sort of man is this that even the wind and even the sea obey him? This is chapters before our gospel lesson. So they have been out there in rough waters before. And here they're having a rough night. In chapter 14 and verse 24, we see that the wind, there's another storm. Now, Jesus isn't with them this time. But then, around 5 a.m., Jesus comes to them and he scares the living daylights out of them. Verse 25 and 26. In the fourth watch of the night, that's about 5 in the morning, he comes to them walking on the sea. The disciples saw him walking on the sea, and they are terrified. They said, it's a ghost, and they cried out in fear. But take a look at verse 27. Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. We're kind of like chapter 14 of Matthew here, where Jesus is not, it's not Matthew 8, where Jesus is in the boat physically where we see him, but we're sent out ahead of him. And we are not to be afraid. He is the king. I don't get an opportunity to hear preaching, certainly not on Sunday mornings, very often, but there's a preacher named John MacArthur, and he had something that I thought was just an excellent little, I actually saw it as a statement that was put on Facebook, and he has a statement that that I'd like to share with you, because it's something that I think we all do well to remember, myself included, myself maybe especially. Every time I show something like this, Karen just rolls her eyes and says, Jim, you know, you're preaching to yourself here again. But take a look at this slide here, John MacArthur. And this isn't a direct quote, but this is the essence of what he said. That's why there's not quotes there. He says, your embrace of his sovereignty has a direct inverse relationship to your doubting, your anxiety, and your fear. If we have this high idea here of God, he's in charge of everything. It's the finances, it's the social things, it's the medical things, it's the technology things, it's what's going to happen in the country, what's going to happen to the family, what's going to happen with me. If you have a high opinion of his sovereignty, that he's in charge of it all, it will have an inverse relationship, meaning your fear, your anxiety, and your doubting will be low. But if you have a very low opinion or a low embrace of the idea that God is in charge of everything, what's going to be really high is your doubting, your fear, and your anxiety. The apostles were sent, but they failed in Matthew 8. and they failed here in Matthew 14. And next up, now it's Peter's turn to fail. Matthew 14, 28 through 31. This is right after Jesus says, "It is I, do not be afraid." Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the sea and he came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And he began to sink and he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" This idea that for Peter, for that moment there, because he was no longer focusing on the sovereignty of God, that everything's from the hand of God, because that was low, his doubting was high. His fear was high. You got to give Peter credit for stepping out, right? You got to give him credit for stepping out of the boat. So, good for him. But he too, just like the other apostles, became overcome with fear, and he sinks, even though he was sent. Don't miss that he was sent. "Lord, if it's you, bid that I come out and come to you." And what does Jesus say? "Come." So Peter was sent. What is the conclusion of the matter here? Do not let circumstances, dangers, and difficulty cause you to fear or to doubt. Kind of sounds like Sunday school a little bit with our exposition on John the Baptist and the various 9/11s in our life. Whether it be on the world stage like 9/11 or you have a personal emergency. And in your personal setting, you have a 9/11, a diagnosis, a bankruptcy, a divorce. Do not let those circumstances, dangers, or difficulty cause you to fear or to doubt. And if we are indeed, if God is doing something very significant at this portion of time in the history of America, he is going to send scouts out. And that might not be a pretty picture for many of us. And so be ready. Hear again what John MacArthur had said. Your embrace of his sovereignty has a direct inverse relationship to your doubting, your anxieties, and your fears. I remember Billy Graham was interviewed once, and you know, the interviewer was trying to mock him. Says, "You really believe that, you know, like this great fish, you know, the whale in Jonah, that the whale ended up swallowing Jonah, that a whale could swallow a man?" And Billy Graham gave a great answer, and he ended up saying this. He said, "You know what? I believe what the Bible says. In the beginning, God." And so he's got this big picture of who God is and who and God's sovereignty. And he says, "Because I believe that, I would believe it even if the Bible said that the man swallowed the whale." Billy Graham wasn't going to doubt what the Bible said because he had that picture and that view of who God is. And so lo for Billy Graham were issues of doubting or fear or anxiety. Let me wrap it up here. We are sent scouts. It is our honor to go. It is our honor to go wherever we may be. And again, the Great Commission, Matthew 28, go therefore, you know, having gone is the tense in the Greek. That means wherever you are. You know what? God has sent you to Troy for right now. Now maybe you're going to go home to a different location. Having gone, wherever you are, go and make disciples of all nations, all ethnic groups, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It is our honor to go. It will be our glory to go faithfully. Scout honor. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your grace, for your goodness. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that it is to be sent by you. So fill us with your Spirit. So fill us with that grand and glorious vision of your sovereignty, that come what may, we are following you. Help us to endure all of the hardships that come with being a good scout and a good soldier. Not just those things that require long hours and missing meals, but not knowing where this earthly trip takes us. We know our final destination. And so we praise you and we thank you that we can endure all things for the elect's sake, and through Christ who strengthens us. We give you thanks and praise in the name of Jesus. Amen.